So 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to read verses 9 to 23. Listen, this is God's word. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And so he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike the people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And there they were, inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. I wonder if any of you are into optical illusions. I put a picture in your outline. I hope you saw it. It's an optical illusion. There's actually two images within the one picture. Some of you might initially see an older woman. Some of you will see a younger woman. But if you take a second look and study maybe a different part of the picture, possibly you'll see the other image. Well, sometimes we need to take a second look. Things are not always as they appear. We can be mistaken. And we see this in our passage this morning. The servant had to take a second look. And in that second look, he was given a spiritual insight into what was really happening. And as a result, he had no reason to fear. Well, this morning, I want to test your eyesight. I'm not concerned about your physical eyesight. If you have vision problems, please go and see your eye doctor. Instead, how is your spiritual sight? Are you like the servant, afraid because you cannot see what is really going on? And so the Christian life is that of warfare. But you have no reason to fear, for God is giving you spiritual sight to see that his presence is with you. So let's firstly notice, be encouraged, and yet remain vigilant, for God sees everything. In our passage, we see Syria is at war with Israel. We also see that God is making it clear that he is the only God. the Assyrians are pawns in his hands. As we see, they can do nothing unless God allows them. Every military strategy the king of Assyria comes up with, God makes his enemy Israel aware of it. Now, during World War II, the Germans had this encryption machine called the Enigma machine to communicate secret intelligence. But the Allied forces, they cracked the code. They were able to listen in on the Germans and their plans. And it's been described as the greatest victory in World War II. And that's because it most likely reduced the length of the war by a couple of years. And some even say that it may have even altered the outcome of the war altogether. Well, the Israelites had an intelligence in on the Syrians, and that's because God revealed the Syrians' plans to Elisha the prophet, who then informed the king of Israel. The king was then ready for any Syrian attack that was mounted. And it happened so often, the king of Syria believed he had a spy in his camp. But one of his servants informed him that the prophet Elisha, he was the one who knew and informed the king of Israel. He knows the very words that the king speaks in his bedroom, in his most secret and intimate place. He cannot get away from the all-knowing God. The God of Israel hears and sees everything. Very different from the gods of Syria, who are dead, they're blind, they're deaf. Again, it's a demonstration of the power of God, of the God of Israel. The people of Israel should put their trust in a God who sees everything compared to the blind gods of the surrounding nations. The people of Syria also should submit to this powerful God of Israel who knows everything. We see the opposite. The king of Syria does not submit. Instead, he mounts an attack on Elisha, the secret weapon of Israel. Elisha was making him vulnerable, and so he needed rid of him. And we get to see just how big a threat that Elisha was. The king sends his horses and his chariots and a great army to capture him. Now, chariots in those days were the equivalent of ballistic missiles today. They were the most advanced weapon of that time. That's how badly the king of Syria wanted rid of Elisha. And yet just consider the foolishness of this attack. God knows everything, and so Elisha knows of this coming attack. Well, today many people do not like this truth of an all-knowing God. They don't like the fact that God sees everything they do, that he knows everything they think. They suppress this truth in their mind. They do evil things in secret or in darkness, thinking that it will go unseen. Or they come up with excuses to legitimize their evil deeds, or they silence those who say it's wrong. These efforts are futile. And so in a world of much evil and much injustice, don't grow discouraged. God sees it all. Now, a few years ago, I was involved in a car crash. It was a minor car crash, but I was using the roundabout. I had the right of way. I was going around the roundabout, but another car came onto the roundabout and crashed right into me. But thankfully, there was an ex-cop happened to see it, and he was willing to act as a witness. And that prevented the other driver from contesting the facts. Well, God witnesses everything. And so even if we don't see justice now, when evil seems to go unpunished, know that God will act in justice. He will come back to judge the world in righteousness. And that's encouraging, that God sees all evil in this world. But it's also a call for us to be vigilant. If God knows every word that is said in the king's bedroom, he likewise knows every word that is said in your bedroom, meaning in your most secret and intimate place. God is there. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intentions. So don't likewise be guilty of suppressing this truth that God knows everything. Are you having evil thoughts, thinking no one will know what I'm thinking? Are you telling lies? Are you exaggerating the truth, thinking I'll get away with it? Are you angry with your children, with your spouse? Well, God sees and hears that. No wonder Christians describe the Christian life as coram Deo. You are to live coram Deo, meaning to live your entire life in the presence of God, under His authority and to His glory. That's the right response of the reality of living before the sight of God. So a good soldier is one who is vigilant, who never slackens because he knows he is at war. He has to be ready. And likewise, you are to be vigilant. Your commander is watching you. Well, secondly, let's notice you're on the winning side, so do not fear. Verses 14 to 17. The Syrian army advances, and Elisha's servant spots them. Notice his servant has changed. It's no longer Gehazi, who had leprosy as a result of lying and stealing before God. This new servant, he sees the oncoming army ready to attack Elisha, and naturally, he's afraid. He warns Elisha. He says, "Master, what shall we do?" And Elisha responds by saying, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prays that his servant would be able to see this truth, open his eyes, that he may see. And the young man saw the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. Dillard, in his commentary, says, "For him, for a moment, faith became sight." This servant of Elisha gets to see the spiritual reality that's all around him. He's not alone. He is surrounded by this heavenly host of angels. What an amazing sight this must have been, to have his eyes opened to see God's protection, to see the reality of God's protection. He thought he was the one surrounded, but actually, it's the Syrians who are the ones who are surrounded. No longer would he be filled with fear. Instead, he would be confident of the security that he has in God. In the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, in the battle in that book, it looks like the White Witch and her army would win. Peter and Edmund are retreating, but then Aslan arrives, and he brings with him reinforcements. And this gives those fighting resolve to continue, as it became obvious the White Witch would be defeated. She's surrounded by Narnians with Aslan at the front. This is true for you. You wrongly think that you are in the battle alone, that you are relying on your own strength, on your own ability. You're not alone. We don't often talk about it, but we are protected and likewise surrounded by an army of angels. Reichen, in his commentary, says, "Who can tell what seraphim and cherubim are among us? Who can say what infantry and cavalry stands at our defense? God has given us his angels to protect, comfort, deliver, and guard us in all our ways." Now, partly the reason we don't talk much about angels protecting us is our tendency to get distracted and to worship the angels. Instead, our worship is to God alone. And Christ is known as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He is the captain of this heavenly army. The angels are under his command. So when Christ says that he is with you in the Great Commission, we should picture him with you, with this great army of angels surrounding and protecting you. Now, the servant got to miraculously see the spiritual reality. You won't get to physically see this army. You need to pray that you spiritually would see it, that you would have faith in the reality that Christ is with you. John G. Patton was a Reformed Presbyterian missionary to the New Hebrides Islands in the Pacific, and he recounts how the natives were hostile to him and to his family. They surrounded his mission headquarters one night. They were intent on burning the Pattons' home down and then killing the Pattons. Well, John Patton and his wife prayed all during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. And when daylight came, they were amazed because the attackers had left. And they thanked God for delivering them. Well, a year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Jesus Christ. And Mr. Patton, remembering what had happened, he asked the chief what had kept him and his men from burning down his house and killing them. And the chief replied in surprise, "Who were all those men you had with you there?" And the missionary answered, "There were no men. It was just my wife and I." And the chief argued that they had seen many men standing guard, hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords in their hands. They seemed to circle the mission station so that the natives were afraid to attack. Only then did Mr. Patton realize that God had sent his angels to protect them. And the chief agreed that there is no other explanation other than a legion of angels sent by God to protect his servants. The truth of God's presence with you should encourage you to stand. You are on the side of victory. Like the servant, you do not need to be afraid. This command, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you," is one of the most repeated commands in the whole of the Bible. And yet we constantly need reminded of this truth. We forget that we are on the winning side. Now, it doesn't mean that you will be protected from facing difficult situations. No, but instead, in those difficulties, you have God with you. He will never leave you. Paul says in Romans 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" So remember, you are secure. You have no reason to fear. Well, thirdly, let's notice, in your prayers, remind yourself of God's presence with you. Verses 18 to 20. Three times we read of Elisha praying to God. Clearly, we see the importance of prayer in fighting the battle. When we pray, we are praying to God who is with us. We are to remind ourselves of this truth that God is with us, that he is powerful. We remind ourselves that it's the enemy who is weak. The enemy will be defeated. But we lose sight of that reality. I wonder how often you fall for food and recipes because the pictures in the recipe books makes the food look so delicious. But when you go to make it, it looks like nothing like the picture. And that's because the advertisers use a lot of tricks to make the food look presentable in the photographs. They use white glue instead of milk so the food doesn't go soggy in the milk. They use toothpicks or other staging so the food sits in the right position, looks bigger than it actually is. They use dish soap to create extra bubbles in beer, or food coloring to make raw chicken look cooked and yet still juicy. And it can be discouraging. Your food never looks that good or that appetizing. Well, it helps to know that it's not actually real. And the same goes with much advertising. And it is shameful, because it can be mentally damaging to people, especially to young people who consider this advertising to be reality. Well, we often get discouraged by the enemy. The enemy appears strong, invincible, attractive. The reality is quite the opposite. Elisha prays again. This time he prays that the Syrian army would be struck with blindness. This powerful army, this army with superior weapons that looked invincible, has been turned into a band of blind beggars. They have to be led by the hand. They are not able to distinguish who is even leading them. They are completely vulnerable. And Elisha leads them away from Dothan and into Samaria. Samaria, the capital of Israel, Well, what a sight this must have been. Elisha then prays that God would open their eyes. They could now see their target, Elisha, the prophet of God. He is the one they're after. But their eyes are open to realize that they are in enemy territory. They've been taken into the very center of Israel, and they are the ones in danger. And they can do little to protect themselves, nor could they expect mercy. Dillard says, the siege of Dothan has been reversed, and now the Syrian soldiers were surrounded. Their best hope was probably for no more than a merciful and speedy death. Now, at the very least, captured soldiers could expect rough treatment. They would probably have been sold as slaves or executed as spies or prisoners of war. This fearful army turned out to be weak because God is the one who is strong. And so you need to take your fears to God in prayer. Sometimes your fears are exposed as being empty, and you're encouraged and you're comforted. But sometimes your fears continue to be fearful. But the difference is you remember that God is with you. And so you hold on to him in faith, knowing that he is stronger. Notice Elisha prayed for his servant to see. That's a prayer we should pray for others, that they would see, that God would open their eyes, that they would realize that he is more powerful than anything they are facing. Well, fourthly, let's notice, show love to the enemy, for you were once the enemy. Well, the king of Israel is obviously happy. He has these Syrian soldiers right where he wants them. And you can hear his excitement when he asks Elisha, "Shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" He wants vengeance. But we see a different response by Elisha. D.L. Ralph Davis describes how the king of Israel needs a little restraint. He was thinking of a bloodbath rather than a banquet. Well, Elisha returns good for evil to this army that was seeking his life. They are now in the hands of God, and he spares them. And instead, he provides for them a feast. Now, when President Trump visited the United Kingdom, the Queen provided this huge state banquet. All the important people were invited. It was a sign of peace and diplomacy between the two nations. And that's what these soldiers are receiving here, a feast that is fit for a king. Elisha shows them grace, that they're in good standing with Israel. They deserve punishment, but they got the opposite. They're sent back to Syria. And the result of this grace shown to these Syrian soldiers, no longer would Syria attack Israel again. Proverbs 15 speaks of a similar truth. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Our focus can be on what we deserve, on our rights, what is fair in our eyes. But we forget that we are to be gracious to others. This can be hard, but God has shown you grace. Even though you were once an enemy of God, you didn't deserve it. And that should encourage you to show grace to others. The fact that God showed mercy to these Syrians points to the fact that God is not a local God of Israel. He is the God of the whole earth. The Syrians can also call out to him as God, just like the Israelites. God showed them both grace. He spares Israel from Syria, and he spares Syria from Israel. And this feast in Samaria is a foretaste of another feast, when people of every nation, tribe, and tongue will sit together at the wedding feast of the Lamb. God's plan is to bring people from all over the world together to worship him. And we get a glimpse of that here in Samaria with both the Israelites and the Syrians together as a result of God's grace. Well, finally, let's notice you have spiritual sight because of the one prophet who let himself be captured. Clearly, those Syrian soldiers had no right to this feast, nor do we have a right before God. We are all outsiders. We're all cut off by our sinful thoughts and actions. And yet God, in his mercy, sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to save us. Although Elisha was not captured, Jesus Christ was captured. Captured by a group of soldiers who came with spears and clubs. But Jesus let himself be captured. Remember how he rebuked Peter in Matthew 26. He said, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Dale Ralph Davis says, "Imagine there were 72,000 soldiers chomping at the bit to intervene in Jesus' defense. But the legions were idle because the cross was the will of God. On the cross, Christ would go in our place to take the punishment, which is death. But death was not Lord over Jesus. He would overcome death. He would be resurrected 3 days later. And so he took on death and was victorious. And if Jesus didn't die as a result of death, neither do we. And so in Christ, you can know mercy, just like these soldiers who were as good as dead, surrounded by the Israelites. Just like the servant who was as good as dead, surrounded by the Syrians. In Christ there is mercy. In his mercy he gives sight to the blind. You have sight because of Christ. And so the Christian life is that of warfare. But you have no reason to fear. God has given you spiritual sight to see his presence with you. I wonder if any of you are fans or were fans of the TV show Smallville. It was a teenage drama about Clark Kent coming of age and realizing that he's Superman. And there is a scene where Clark is trying to cope with having X-ray vision. He's afraid, and so he asks his mom, "What would you do if you could see everything?" And his mom's response is, "Learn to close your eyes." Well, that's not very helpful. But it's not very helpful advice. Because if you could see everything, that would mean you would not need to fear. You would see the reality of God all around you. And this you are to believe in faith. So with this same insight, you do not need to fear. Even though you're in a spiritual battle, you know that those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage. Lord, we thank you that we worship you, a God who sees everything, who knows everything. And what an encouragement that is in this day where there is much evil, where there's much injustice, and yet you are aware of it, you know of it, and you will put it to right. Lord, we pray that we would remain vigilant as we recognize you, our commander, seeing everything we do. And so we pray our thoughts and our words and actions that they would be right before you. Lord, we thank you that we do not need to fear. We thank you that we are on the winning side, and that's because you are with us. And so, Lord, we thank you for the victory that we have in you. And so we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful in praying to you, reminding ourselves of this truth, reminding others of this truth when they become fearful. And Lord, we thank you for how you've shown us grace, despite us once being the enemy. And Lord, help us to show grace to others. Give us that loving and graciousness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.